Sarah went down to the big marquee. She found her three fellow travellers there. They were sitting at table, eating. The guide was explaining that there was another party here.
They came 2 days ago. Go day after tomorrow. Americans. The mother, very fat, very difficult get here. Carried in chair by bearers. They say very hard work. They get very hot, yes?
Sarah gave a sudden spurt of laughter. Of course, take it properly. The whole thing was funny. The fat dragoman looked at her gratefully. He was not finding his task too easy. Lady Westhome had contradicted him out of Baedeker 3 times that day, and had now found fault with the type of bed provided. He was grateful to the one member of his party who seemed to be unaccountably in a good temper.
"Ha!" said Lady Westhome. "I think these people were at the Solomon. I recognised the old mother as we arrived here. I think I saw you talking to her at the hotel, Miss King."
Sarah blushed guiltily, hoping that Lady Westhome had not overheard much of that conversation. "Really, what possessed me?" she thought to herself in an agony. In the meantime, Lady Westhome had made a pronouncement.
"Not interesting people at all. Very provincial," she said.
Miss Pierce made eager, sycophantish noises, and Lady Westhome embarked on a history of various interesting and prominent Americans whom she had met recently. The weather being so unusually hot for the time of year, an early start was arranged for the morrow. The four assembled for breakfast at 6 o'clock. There were no signs of any of the Boynton family. After Lady Westhome had commented unfavourably on the absence of fruit, they consumed tea, tinned milk, and fried eggs in a generous allowance of fat, flanked by extremely salty bacon. Then they started forth, Lady Westhome and Dr. Gerard discussing with animation on the part of the former the exact value of vitamins in diet and the proper nutrition of the working classes. Then there was a sudden hail from the camp, and they halted to allow another person to join the party. It was Mr. Jefferson Cope who hurried after them, his pleasant face flushed with the exertion of running.
"Why, if you don't mind, I'd like to join your party this morning. Good morning, Miss King. Quite a surprise meeting you and Dr. Gerard here. What do you think of it?"
He made a gesture indicating the fantastic red rocks that stretched in every direction.
"I think it's rather wonderful and just a little horrible," said Sarah. "I always thought of it as romantic and dreamlike, the rose-red city. But it's much more real than that. It's as real as raw beef."
"And very much the colour of it," agreed Mr. Cope.
"But it's marvellous, too," admitted Sarah.
The party began to climb. 2 Bedouin guides accompanied them. Tall men with an easy carriage, they swung upward unconcernedly in their hobnailed boots, completely footsure on the slippery slope. Difficulties soon began. Sarah had a good head for heights, and so had Dr. Gerard, but both Mr. Cope and Lady Westhome were far from happy, and the unfortunate Miss Pierce had to be almost carried over the precipitous places, her eyes shut, her face green, while her voice rose ceaselessly in a perpetual wail.
"I could never look down places, never, from a child!"
Once she declared her intention of going back, but on turning to face the descent, her skin assumed an even greener tinge, and she reluctantly decided that to go on was the only thing to be done. Dr. Gerard was kind and reassuring. He went up behind her, holding a stick between her and the sheer drop like a balustrade, and she confessed that the illusion of a rail did much to conquer the feeling of vertigo. Sarah, panting a little, asked the dragoman, Mahmoud, who in spite of his ample proportions showed no signs of distress, "Don't you ever have trouble getting people up here? Elderly ones, I mean?"
"Always, always we have trouble," agreed Mahmoud serenely.
"Do you always try and take them?"
Mahmoud shrugged his thick shoulders. "They like to come. They have paid money to see these things. They wish to see them. The Bedouin guides are very clever, very sure-footed. Always they manage."
They arrived at last at the summit. Sarah drew a deep breath. All around and below stretched the blood-red rocks, a strange and unbelievable country, unparalleled anywhere. Here, in the exquisite, pure morning air, they stood like gods, surveying a baser world, a world of flaring violence. Here was, as the guide told them, the place of sacrifice, the high place. He showed them the trough cut in the flat rock at their feet. Sarah strayed away from the rest. from the glib phrases that flowed so readily from the dragoman's tongue. She sat on a rock, pushed her hands through her thick black hair, and gazed down on the world at her feet.